live in very exciting times. We can look around and we can see things are not arranged as we know they should be, and sometimes we can grumble about that. We can even be worried about that. We can be concerned about different things. I encourage you to continue to be praying for Israel in these days. It's very important that we understand that God still has a plan for the people that he chose out many years ago. And, you know, for that land, for that place, it is important to him. It's also important to him that they be drawn to their Messiah, Jesus Christ. And man, what a premium time for that to be happening right now, while so many other people are coming against them. In the book of Revelation, we understand that in the end, the New Jerusalem comes down. And in fact, the Mount of Olives is where Jesus stands in his second coming. That's where he's going to rule from during his millennial reign. This place is important. And so we need to understand that and be in prayer. In fact, on May the 19th for the evening service, we're going to have prayer time for Israel, for our entire evening service. So I want you guys to come for that. Just be in prayer for God's people. Be in prayer for the church, because we're engrafted branches. That's what the scripture describes. We don't replace Israel, but what we find is we're brought into the covenants and the promises that were made to them through Christ. You know, there's a lot of anti-Semitism in our world today as well. You do realize Jesus came through the Jewish people, right? God set those people apart and would bring Messiah through them. And Jesus is our Savior. He's the only Savior. Amen. And he came through the Jewish people. We need to be thankful, amen, that God chose them out and brought the Messiah through them. He didn't apologize for being Jewish either, did he? For being a Hebrew. In fact, he followed all the Old Testament customs to the T. He was the only one that ever lived that did it right. Completely right. That's why he could be our Savior. That's why he could be the one that sacrificed, was the substitutionary atonement for us. That means it paid the price for us. It's just a technical way of saying he paid our price. The only way that he could do that is because he's perfect in every way, even according to the Old Testament law. And so therefore, he could actually go to that cross, not deserving to die, and pay for us. How incredible is that? And so in this, he had 12 disciples. One of them, you know, while he walked on the earth, one of them was a traitor who later got replaced. That was Judas. Can you guys name off any of the other 12 disciples? Anybody know? Mm-hmm. There's some names that we don't remember as well as others, right? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, that's good. One of them I heard I heard a lot of different names being put out. Not everybody that wrote one of the Gospels was actually a disciple. So Mark and Luke were actually not disciples of the original 12, but they later became disciples, and God used them to do an important task. But then there were a couple Johns as well. So there was a John the Baptist. Y'all remember him? Okay, and then there was a John the disciple, right? Okay, and a lot of times, you know, when we're first reading the Bible, all these names, they could get confusing, right? Well, in this, the revelation of Jesus Christ, this was given to the disciple John, the one who walked closely with Jesus and wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John as well. These were letters to different churches that he helped start and pastor and be a part of. John was the longest living disciple. All the rest were martyred, and John lived the longest out of all of them. And it wasn't that he didn't take on suffering. He very much did. In fact, they tried, church history says that they tried to martyr John by dipping him in hot oil, and he just didn't die because God wasn't finished with him yet. And so the book of Revelation was written very late in John's life, when he had continued to preach the gospel, continued to start churches. He pastored or shepherded in some of these churches, was very involved, wrote these letters, wrote the Gospel of John, and then he continued to be faithful even though the Roman government continued to persecute him. And eventually they said, we can't stop this guy, so what we're going to have to do is move him out onto a deserted island where we send prisoners. Used to be like a quarry of some sort, and they sent prisoners out there to do this work. And at this point, they had pretty well shut all that operation down, but they knew if they got him out there, he would stop preaching the gospel to all these other people. God wasn't finished with him yet. That's where we find this masterpiece is written, this piece of the Bible puzzle that we so desperately need to help us stay engaged and realize our little life is not what it's all about. I am a piece of the puzzle, and it is important that I be saved, but not just for me. God's got a bigger plan. And part of his plan include these last things that still have to happen before the return of Christ. And it reveals to me as well what the return of Christ will look like. It reveals to me what the millennial reign is going to look like. That means 1,000 years, by the way. And as we continue to look, it even shows us this wonderful masterpiece called the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Shows us what heaven, the full consummation of heaven and earth, looks like. And a lot of people, you know, are not sure about the timeline of a lot of this, and there's room for discussion. There's room for a lot of discussion on a lot of the different aspects. There's even like 3 or 4 major thought processes that happen concerning some of these events. And we can have healthy discussions on those. But I can tell you, regardless of what we think, it's not up to us. God's going to do it. And he's going to do it the way he says so. I take a pretty literal interpretation of the book of Revelation. So we're just going to start with just the first few verses today and just take a look here. And it's one of the few books in the Bible where the title and the author are both found in the first verse. And so here we see the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him. So where did it come from? God gave him to show his servants. Do you notice the him in that is capitalized? And the his. So it's like the Father gave it to the Son and told the Son to take it to John so that his servants would then be able to know we are part of this. This is for us today. A lot of people say, I'm afraid to read Revelation because that all just looks really scary to me. Well, I can tell you, if you're in Christ, you have nothing to be afraid of. If you're not in Christ, it should scare you. It should scare you enough that you get your life right with Christ, because I can tell you it's not a joke. And it is going to happen. And in fact, even if it happens after your life is over, you're still affected by the message here, because you either know Christ and you're in Christ, or you don't know Christ and you're not in Christ. And anyone that's not found in the Lamb's Book of Life is going to be tossed into the burning lake of fire when their soul is judged before the living God. So it is very important that we take seriously the words of this book, and this book is for us. And he goes on to say that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we read these words, we can see this is your message to your servants so that we won't be in the dark, so that we won't be ignorant of the fact that the last days are coming. This word shortly is a debated word, and some think that means that it happened within John's lifetime. But when we look at these events that are being explained here, we know shortly means that it will come exactly when you say so. It will not delay one moment beyond what you say. And to you, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. So you're not slack in keeping your promise. Jesus will return, and it will be when you say so. And it will happen immediately whenever it's time. So help us to be ready, because it could be any day. Many are looking at the signs of the times and saying, you know, this has to be the time. This has to be whenever Christ will return. I would definitely say it is looking very consistent with what I see in Scripture. But I'm still trusting that your timing will be perfect. So I'm not going to try to predict it. It would be foolish for me too, because no man knows the day or the hour. We just know it will happen, and you want us to be prepared. That's why you had this book written. That's why you dictated this through your angel to John. And John even got to experience seeing Jesus face to face again. This one who had walked with him, talked with him, shared all of these close experiences with you, Lord. And then he got to see you through this revelation in such a powerful way. Lord, I pray that you would affect our lives through this wonderful book, through this wonderful letter that's given to us of sorts. It's an account, but I believe it's written like personally to us, that we should take the words of this book seriously and be prepared. I pray that you would bless us and strengthen us and teach us through it. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we look here, this word revelation has, it comes from a Greek word that we would get our word apocalypse from. And the literal definition is just an uncovering. These are things that are covered in heaven, and we can't, you know, we don't know everything about heavenly things. We don't know everything about spiritual things. So God has attempted, he has brought it forth and uncovered it for us to be able to look at. Does that make you feel like loved, that God cares about you enough to do that? Isn't that awesome that he wanted to uncover something for us so that it would prepare us? The date that we would find for this to have been written was sometime during the Emperor Domitian's reign, probably about 94 to 96 AD. The early church, you know, in the first century, one of our church fathers, Irenaeus, declares this date. He spoke very openly about this letter. I can tell you that, or this book, I can tell you that it was never doubted among the true church leaders of the early church. And so there's no reason for us to doubt it today. They took it as fact. They took it at his word. And I think we should too. And by that date, we would know that dating method, this was late in John's life. There's some others who argue that it happened a little earlier, but that those arguments really fall through, and especially whenever we hear what these early church fathers said about it. I mean, they were a lot closer to the situation than us, so praise God they recorded these things. The reason for writing we find in verses 2 and 3, who bore witness to the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. The reason why God had it come to us is so that we could understand these heavenly things a little bit better, and so that we would be blessed. God wants to bless us. God's not in the process, in the business of just trying to scare his children. So if you're a child of God, do not be frightened by what we read in the book of Revelation, but rather be encouraged, be prepared, be made ready. Maybe it would create in us a greater urgency to be a part of the harvest today. when we think about the finality of things. You see, it says in verse 3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy. He wants that to bless us, and then he wants us to be even more intentional to keep those things which are written in it. You see, he's giving us the information so that we will follow him, so that we will do what he says, and not just what we see in Revelation alone, but everything else that Jesus taught us as well. Amen? The same Jesus gave us the Gospels. He gave us the directions. And he expects us to follow, for the time is near. And if it was near when John wrote it, don't you think it's even more near now? Because we are, 2,000 years almost removed. And we know that the truth of this book is imminent. It's going to happen, and it's closer than when it was then. You see, to whom the letter is originally written, it's in, and we see that he speaks in this, that in verse 4, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. It's a beautiful thing. He addresses the letter to these churches. And some surmise that these were just examples and types of churches. But these were actually, I believe, seven literal churches. We can trace them back into history. And they were also consistent with what we see in churches today. So yes, there are types and shadows that we also see in these descriptions as well. But I want you to know, these were seven literal churches. In fact, all these churches can be traced back to what we know of as modern-day Turkey. Now, it used to be called Asia Minor. And there, you can actually go visit the ruins of some of these places today. But in these first couple of chapters, we're going to read some things that he has to say to these seven churches. And I want you to know, yes, he wrote them to seven literal churches in that day, but I believe they are just as applicable for us today. Because we are the culmination of those who followed those churches. And so as we read them, take them personally as well, even as Christians within the modern New Testament church as well. You see, in these first few verses, we also see him giving the only true blessing that can be given. Because let's reread verse 4 and connect that with verse 5. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the fellow witness, the firstborn from the dead and ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. May the Lord Jesus Christ be that one who blesses you today. May he continue to bless you. May you continue to go to him for that blessing and realize you have nothing to fear. If he was the ruler over the kings of the earth in the day that this was written, he still is the ruler over the kings of the earth today. I can tell you not one thing moves on planet earth that Jesus doesn't know about, neither allow or has actually ordained, and he wants good for his children. And so anything that's being allowed right now, he will use. Romans 8:28 reminds us of this. For we know that all things work to the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Do you love God today? Do you love Jesus? Then you can rest assured that everything that you see culminating, everything that you see happening, even on the earth today, is going to end up working out for your good. You know what our place is? To continue to love God. Continue to work out that calling he's got on our life. To continue to work and go forward with him. And then we can know that all these things will work to our good. And in that, we always want to remind one another, just as he's doing here in this letter in verse 6, remind each other and remind ourselves of our position in Christ. Revelation 1:6, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see, God wants to remind us that even though that day is coming, when he's coming back, that day of finality will come, that we should stay about the business for which he has saved us for. When he saves you, he also makes you a priest. He sets you as one who should be drawing other people and reconnecting them to the God who made them. That is the priest's purpose, is to go between people and God and help to make that connection. You know what? You're not called to save anybody. You can't save anybody. No matter how hard you try, you don't have what it takes to save somebody, especially eternally. But you know the one who can. And so our calling is during these last days, during this time that's all culminating toward the return of Christ, is to be about his business, reconnecting, introducing people to the Savior who died for them, reminding them he is so personally acquainted with them that he is actually the one who created them. And he wants them to live forever with him in heaven. That's what he's called us to do, to be that type of priest, reconciling people to our God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. So in the days ahead, as we look at more of this book, I want you to remember this book is for you as a believer. It's to encourage you. It's to bless you with the only blessing there is to have through Jesus Christ. It's also to remind us we have a purpose. The days may be drawing near. Don't let that cause you to have despair. Let it be a time that we are more focused on the ministry God's given us. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we come to a close for this service, I pray that you would bless us to be encouraged, emboldened, moved forward, more intentional. All of these words to say that we would keep on keeping on with the purpose that you've given us until either you return to us or we go to be with you. Either way, we know we will be with you forever. As we read this book, we're going to find that everything culminates until that great return of Jesus. There's going to be a rapture. There's going to be a time that you're going to bring your church up to you. There's going to be a time of tribulation. There's going to be a time of your return. And what I love about that picture of your return is that your people are with you, but it's you that fights the battle. So, Lord, help us to just focus on serving Christ, loving you, growing in our relationship with you, and then being that priest and that king that you've called us to be. We look at the kings of the earth and we think they're the ones running everything, but it's our King of Kings that's really in charge. It's Jesus. And so, Lord, if we are yours, we have all the power of heaven to do what you've called us to do. So help us to stop wringing our hands and start really going forward in our relationship with you. As the world is in distress, it's a wonderful time for us to introduce people to their Savior. Help us, Lord, to stay focused. In Jesus' name, amen.